Hello, this is Diane with edition number 2179 of the Merton Talking News for Thursday, the 3rd of November 2022. Reading this week are Helen, Claudio, Jenny and Ben. Denny and Matthew are on the controls. And now over to Helen for the first news item.
Diane, teenager jailed for life over murder of loved son, brother and friend. A teenager has been sentenced to a minimum of 18 years in prison for the murder of a man in Wandsworth. Elijah Roy, 19, of Carey Gardens, Wandsworth, appeared at Kingston Crown Court on Wednesday, where he was given a life sentence for the murder of Abdirizak Hassan. A group of males tricked 24-year-old Abdirizak, known as Abdi, into visiting an address in Roehampton in May 2021, where they attacked him and stabbed him in the chest. In a statement, the victim's family said, "Abdi was a well-loved son, brother and friend. He was a funny, clever, compassionate and big-hearted person. We miss him dearly and will cherish our memories of him forever." Police were called at around 11 a.m. on May 6, 2021, after a body was found at a residential property in a block of flats in Dowdeswell Close. Abdirizak was found with a stab injury. He had been attacked at the same location the afternoon before. The group had arrived at the property, which was owned by a vulnerable woman, on the afternoon of May 5, 2021. The group used the woman's phone to lure Abdi to the property, forcing her to claim she wanted to buy drugs from him. When he arrived at around 5:20 p.m., they ambushed him in an attack that lasted several minutes. Mohammed Danso, 18, was previously found not guilty of murder but was convicted of manslaughter. He was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. A 16-year-old boy, who cannot be named for legal reasons, was found not guilty of murder but was convicted of manslaughter. He was sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. And now, over to Claudio.
Thank you, Helen. London Council's axe firework displays leaving furry friends at risk. Several London boroughs have ditched their public firework events due to the cost of living crisis, causing families to plan their own displays in their gardens. Leading pet charity Blue Cross says 60% of UK pets are fearful of fireworks, yet half the nation is expected to have an at-home firework display this year. The charity installed a huge ECG monitor on the South Bank in central London last week to mimic the increasing heart rate of a pet when it hears the sound of fireworks exploding, and warn the public of the effects fireworks can have on our most loyal companions. Animal behaviourist at Blue Cross, Becky Skirm, said, "People may not understand the severity of the issue. Thousands of pets will suffer as a result of fireworks being let off." In their campaign titled "Have a Heart, Don't Take Part," their new research showed that almost 62% of pet owners believe there should be a ban on fireworks in residential gardens. It also showed that over a third of the public admit not to telling their neighbours before they set fireworks off. The campaign is urging people to rethink their plans to host or attend an at-home fireworks display this year, to save a great risk to the health of our friendliest pups. Becky said, "We are excited to launch our campaign to raise awareness of the shocking effect fireworks have on pets." Blue Cross invited Londoners to visit their giant monitor, towering nearly 9 feet, to learn more about how we can enjoy fireworks whilst keeping our pets' safety at the forefront of our minds. Blue Cross is a national charity that helps sick, injured and homeless pets. They provide veterinary care and expert behaviour help to owners and even find pets loving homes to go to if necessary. And now over to you, Jenny.
Thank you, Claudio. Anger at planned closure of popular Battersea pedestrianised scheme. Wandsworth Council's decision to scrap funding for a popular pedestrianised hotspot in Battersea has been slammed by businesses and residents. The council announced it would be cutting the budget for the Northcote Road pedestrianisation scheme last month in a bid to tackle the cost of living crisis. A report submitted to the council's finance committee in September recommended scrapping the scheme in a move it says could free up £2.5 million. The council said the decision was one of many tough decisions it had made in order to support residents facing severe hardship due to the rising energy costs and inflation. Johnny Dyson, chairman of the Northcote Road Business Network, said, "There will be a significant impact following the scrapping of the scheme, and sadly, the effects will probably not even be seen until this time next year. While the scheme was initially designed to help hospitality businesses during the pandemic, the reality is that they will be needed just as much due support due to the cost of living crisis. These businesses are hardly out of the woods now, with capital reserves pretty much down to nothing, huge rises in utility costs, staff shortages and staff wage demands." The move comes as the local council recently announced £5 million worth of funding to support residents as the cost of living crisis continues to squeeze household budgets. Yet some councillors said the hugely popular scheme has saved or created more than 120 jobs and enabled many long-standing businesses that would otherwise have been lost to the pandemic to continue trading. A recent council consultation, carried out before councillors voted on the report's recommendations, revealed that 88% of residents supported or strongly supported the weekend pedestrianisation scheme on Northcote Road. One resident said, "What a shame. Northcote Road looks to be thriving during the summer pedestrianisation and attracting so many people to use all of the shops, cafes and restaurants. What's not to like?" The scheme was first arranged during the summer of 2020, when lockdown rules were eased, and was renewed in 2021, allowing the restaurants to utilise outside space. Due to its popularity with businesses and residents, and in a bid to support retailers struggling to recover from the pandemic, the scheme was renewed again in 2022. A spokesperson for Wandsworth Council said, "In these incredibly difficult economic times, with the cost of living crisis affecting everyone in Wandsworth, the council does not believe this represents good value for money, but we are looking at ways that an alternative scheme might be able to be funded in the future." And now over to Ben.
Thanks, Jenny. Man jailed for killing father-to-be found on fire in Mitcham. A man has been jailed for 9 years for killing a father-to-be whose body was dumped and set on fire on a London common. Jean Likey Gwee's remains were discovered by a cyclist who spotted flames coming from bushes on Mitcham Common in South London early on September 17, 2020. The Old Bailey was told the 23-year-old was dumped there. Post-mortem tests failed to determine a cause of death, but did identify blunt force trauma to the face and head. Around the time of his death, Mr. Gwee was excited about becoming a father, with his partner giving birth to their son 3 weeks later. Mr. Gwee had made over 100 phone calls to Raphael Kokinos as he became increasingly desperate to be repaid £40,000, jurors heard. That was the value of a parcel of cocaine Kokinos was storing for him when his flat was burgled in August 2020, the jury was told. The defendant had reported it to police but said £18,000 in jewellery was taken and failed to mention Mr. Gwee's missing drugs. Mr. Gwee was killed by Kokinos at his home in Streatham, South London, jurors heard. The defendant claimed he acted in excessive self-defence when there was a struggle and 6-foot-2 tall Mr. Gwee fell and hit his head. Immediately after the fatal attack, Kokinos, 35, got help to cover up the crime, including from his mother, Sophia Kokinos, 71, and friend, Aaron Williams, 30, jurors were told. Over 48 hours, Mr. Gwee's car and phone were disposed of, and the crime scene cleaned up so only 2 blood spots were found on the kitchen worktop, the court was told. The body was dumped under cover of darkness and set alight. Kokinos admitted manslaughter and perverting the course of justice. On Tuesday, Judge Angela Rafferty Casey sentenced him to 9 years in prison for manslaughter and 4 years to run concurrently for the lesser offence. Sophia Kokinos, 71, and Aaron Williams, 30, were found guilty of perverting the course of justice and jailed for 3 years each.
Thank you, Ben. The Rocky Horror Show to show at New Wimbledon Theatre this November. The whimsical production of The Rocky Horror Show will be heading to the New Wimbledon Theatre this November. Since it first opened in London in June 1973, Richard O'Brien's The Rocky Horror Show has become one of the world's favourite rock and roll musicals, having been performed worldwide in more than 30 countries. The Rocky Horror Show is a guaranteed party, which famously combines science fiction, horror, comedy and music, while encouraging audience participation, meaning, of course, getting dressed up in the most outrageous fancy dress. The show will be heading to the New Wimbledon Theatre from Friday, November the 21st, until Sunday, November the 26th, with prices starting from £10. The production tells the story of Brad and his fiancée Janet, two squeaky clean college kids who meet Dr. Frankenfurter by chance when their car breaks down outside his house whilst on their way to visit their favourite college professor. Creator of Rocky Horror, Richard O'Brien, says the musical is still so popular because it's very inclusive and easy to watch. He added, "It's not rocket science as far as narrative is concerned. Brad and Janet are a couple that we recognise as Adam and Eve or Romeo and Juliet. Like a stereotypical couple, we can all relate to them. It is a fairy tale. We can even like the nasty characters. We love the Cruella de Vil kind of character, Frankenfurter. The fact that it is such light-hearted naughtiness combined with root fairy tales has a lot to do with its longevity. West End star Stephen Webb takes on the iconic role of Frank, with actor Philip Franks from The Darling Buds of May as the narrator. Richard Meek makes a welcome return as Brad and is joined by fan favourite Hayley Flaherty from Mamma Mia and Chicago as Janet.
Mums going without food so they can feed kids as food banks struggle with donations. Croydon mums are regularly going without food as they struggle to feed their children, according to a local food bank, which has seen a huge surge in demand. Tracy Davis has run Guiding Hands, a not-for-profit that is focused on helping mums, since 2016. Every Friday, the charity opens a food bank handing out bags to mums in need. The mums are referred by places like the Job Centre and local schools. It also runs a self-referral service where people can sign up for a £7.50 crate, which should last the family of four for 5 days. Tracy said mums regularly go without eating to feed their kids and fears the problem will get worse in coming months as the cost of living crisis worsens. She said, "It is like the pandemic all over again, but on a different scale. In the pandemic, a lot of it wasn't about not having food. It was about managing to get the food. But it is more pronounced now. It is about how they can survive, and it's about feeding their family and being able to feed them healthily. They just can't afford to go out and buy the food." The free bags used to be capped at 16 or 18, but demand means this has now been upped to 26, with others on a waiting list. "Some of them really struggle over the weekend and especially over the half term," Tracy said. "People are really desperate. There are families who can't even pay the £7.50. I don't know how they would manage if they didn't have somebody like us. I think even though energy prices have gone up, they haven't gone up as much as they will. Everyone is putting off putting the heating on. It hasn't hit home yet. And the cost of living crisis is affecting how many donations the charity receives. it is having to reach out to more shops to fill the gap and buy items itself. Tracy said, "We have a yellow bin outside the hub, but it is rarely full now. People haven't even got the money to give donations. We're more reliant on the shops." While the service is only open on Fridays, Tracy said she would never turn away a mum in need at other times of the week. She said, "All the time we hear about parents going without eating. I don't like to hear it. It doesn't have to be like that. And with things so tight, some people don't turn up to collect their free food bags as they can't even afford the bus ride there." Tracy said ideally she would like to deliver these bags but doesn't have the resources to do so.
Cancer support worker recognised with award. A cancer support worker has been awarded a top honour by the BBC. Estelle Legallio, the Macmillan Health and Wellbeing Coordinator at St George's Hospital in Blackshaw Road, Tooting, has been recognised at this year's BBC Radio London Make a Difference Awards for her outstanding work supporting cancer patients throughout the pandemic. Winning in the Key Worker category, Estelle was chosen from hundreds of nominations thanks to her dedication to patients, their carers and loved ones, despite the numerous challenges posed by COVID. When the St George's Macmillan Centre had to close its doors in March 2020, Estelle leapt into action, coming up with a multitude of innovative ways to ensure South Londoners could continue to access vital cancer support. From launching a YouTube channel to interactive information posters, online laughing yoga sessions to chemotherapy comfort kits, Estelle went above and beyond in every sense. Estelle said, "It was such a humbling experience to be recognised. I am so grateful to all the colleagues and friends who supported me and helped so wholeheartedly at a time when we were all challenged in many different ways. I feel very privileged to be able to go the extra mile to support our cancer patients and their loved ones at the most difficult time of their lives." Janice Minter, St George's Assistant Chief Nurse, attended the event with Estelle and said, "Estelle is a pleasure to work with, and her passion to improve the experience of those affected by cancer is inspirational. It is fabulous that her hard work has been recognised in such an immense way, particularly the amazing work she did during the pandemic, ensuring all our patients had access to the support in different ways that suited them." The awards ceremony, hosted by BBC Radio London presenters Gabby Roslin and Eddie Nestor, was held at Ronnie Scott's in Frith Street, Soho, on Wednesday, September the 28th. The BBC Make a Difference Awards were created to recognise remarkable people across the country, marking their achievements and the contribution they make to their community.
Croydon Council gets £300,000 new funding for tree scheme. Croydon Council has been given £300,000 to plant almost 500 new trees to make the borough more vibrant. The Forestry Commission has awarded the funding that will help plant 370 trees where there is currently low tree coverage in the area. Additionally, Trees for Streets has received extra funding from the Mayor of London for an extra 110 trees to be planted around urban areas and parks. The programme has partnered with Croydon Council and is designed such that people can sponsor trees to ease the pressure on council budgets that has been brought about by the pandemic. The group is run by Trees for Cities, who empower communities through planting trees most affected by natural decline and common tree diseases like ash. Executive Mayor of Croydon, Jason Perry, said, "We can continue to protect our biodiversity, making our streets even greener places to live, as well as replacing trees lost to natural causes." He added, "Residents have the opportunity to keep sponsoring their own trees and create their own community legacy." Trees for Streets say they give residents the means to directly improve their neighbourhood, and trees offer benefits to people's mental and physical well-being. A spokesman for Croydon Council said they have long championed the planting of trees and the ecological benefits that accompany planting them, and officers have begun drawing up potential planting locations. They add that in recent years, Croydon has planted around 2,000 trees and was one of the first local authorities to partner with Trees for Streets. Croydon residents are already sponsoring trees, including one Lloyd Park woman, Michelle, who sponsored a tree as a way to remember her late mother. She said, "It's fitting that something put in the ground in memory of a loved one will oversee all the happenings in Lloyd Park for decades to come." Another resident, Dylan, sponsored a tree to fill an empty pit in his street, where there has not been a tree in a long time. He said, "It makes the street look cared for and encourages people to respect the tree more." Croydon also benefited from a crowd-funded sponsorship of 14 trees between Belmont Road and Harrington Road, led by two local groups, People for Portland Road and We Love SC25.
Frank Bruno joins Wandsworth's Black History Month celebrations. Boxing legend Frank Bruno visited Wandsworth last week to share his experience of growing up in the borough, his successful career and his struggles with his mental health. The Wandsworth Civic Suite was packed with people attending the free event organised by the Council's business support team as part of the Council's Black History Month programme. Local businesses served African, Caribbean, cuisine and sports and fitness businesses promoted the positive impact that sports and exercise have on physical and mental well-being. "It was such a pleasure to meet Frank, and I'd like to thank him for helping to break down stigmas surrounding mental health in the black community by sharing his story in such an honest and open way," said Deputy Council Leader, Councillor Kemi Akinola. "This has been a fantastic Black History Month in Wandsworth, and we're grateful to all the organisations, businesses, residents and community groups who helped to make it such a success. But we are determined that we will celebrate Black History every month, which is why we have launched Black History Month 365, a year-long celebration of black culture and the contribution made by black people to our community. Watch this space for details of more events and profiles of local people." This month's events continued over last weekend in borough libraries, including stories and games for children and an over-40s disco night with music from the 1960s.
Man breaks world record with 22 triathlons in memory of brother. A man who completed 22 Olympic distance triathlons in 1 week in support of a knife crime charity is officially a world record breaker. Mark Jones, 44, finished the 22 triathlons, which each consist of a 1500 metre swim, a 40k bike ride and a 10k run, late on Sunday, July the 24th in Windsor. The record breaking challenge was completed by Mark in honour of his brother Stephen, who was 23 years old when he was killed in a gang-related knife attack in Croydon 15 years ago. Stephen's death tore the family apart, and so Mark wanted to do something special in his memory. He received the Guinness World Record certificate through his door on October the 18th, and has also received additional copies for his mum and his chosen charity, Steel Warriors. The award reads, "The most standard triathlon distances completed in 1 week, in brackets male, is 22, and was achieved by Mark Jones of the UK in Windsor, UK, on the 18th to the 24th of July 2022. Mark said, "I'm just a normal man. I go to work to earn a living, and I try to help others when I can. I wanted to do this challenge for my brother and to raise awareness of the huge loss and damage caused to families by knife crime. So many kids get into situations they don't know how to get out of, and they believe that carrying a knife shows they're tough and think that it will protect them. So often it goes wrong and they and others get hurt and killed. It is no way to live." Mark was the second of five children, all boys, who grew up in Croydon on a local authority housing estate where criminal activity was rife, including gang-related violence and drug dealing. His family have never come to terms with Stephen's death, and Mark, who was present at the attack, has struggled with his mental health since. So far, Mark has raised £2,500 for Steel Warriors, who take seized and surrendered knives from London's streets, melt them down, and recycle the steel into free outdoor calisthenics gyms. These spaces are used as community hubs and training centres to support disadvantaged young people. They have plans to have a free gym installed in Wandle Park in memory of Stephen, but Mark and Steel Warriors will need to raise approximately £45,000. His GoFundMe page is still open and accepting donations. Ben Wintour, founding director of Steel Warriors, said, "Mark is an incredible ambassador for our charity. He's never had anything handed to him on a plate, quite the opposite, and my goodness, he knows what hard work is. Mark has shown that anything is possible, whatever background you come from, if you set your mind to it. I hope this inspires other people who perhaps aren't content with their lives or who aren't following a safe and healthy path to set their hearts on a goal and achieve something positive, and then go on to live better, stronger lives."
Merton Council provides warm banks. Merton Council has encouraged residents to visit the borough's public libraries if they are struggling to keep warm in the coming months. A new energy price cap came into effect at the beginning of October, and councils across London have responded by making further preparations for a more severe cost of living crisis this winter. Pollard's Hill Library is one of the libraries that residents can visit to keep warm. A Merton Council spokesperson said, "We've already taken a number of measures to support the least well-off, including setting up a £2 million support fund and holding a number of cost-of-living events where hundreds of residents have received free financial advice. We will also be promoting our libraries as warm, accessible places for residents to come in order to save on their heating bills." Pollard's Hill Library will regularly host free events, with 15 local community organisations attending these to help people access the financial and benefit support they need. Organisations taking part include Citizens Advice Bureau, and each person attending will receive a £10 supermarket voucher on the day, which can be spent at one of the local stores. Merton Council has reiterated that helping residents through the cost of living crisis is a top priority for them. Plans for opening warm banks are also being developed by other councils in London, including Lewisham Council. A Lewisham Council spokesperson said, "We are developing plans for warm spaces, which will be open to the local community, alongside a number of other measures we will be putting in place to support residents with the cost of living." Greenwich London Borough Council has said it is considering setting up dedicated warm banks. A Greenwich London Borough Council spokesperson said, "We are currently developing a range of measures to provide support to residents affected by the rising cost of living. These measures will include a range of assistance for residents, including consideration of dedicated warm banks and how else we can support residents affected by the energy crisis."
MP opens new charity shop. MP Marcia de Cordova cut the ribbon to open a new Mind charity shop this week. The mental health charity opened the doors of a new shop in Old York Road, Wandsworth, with the help of the Battersea MP. The shop offers everything from stylish clothing and vintage must-haves to bric-a-brac bargains. Donations and sales made at the Old York Road Mind shop will go to help support the 1 in 4 people who will experience a mental health problem every year. Mind welcomes residents to donate pre-loved items and encourages shoppers searching for affordable fashion or gifts for loved ones. The average bag of items donated to Mind shops is worth around £30. This amount could help 45 people find hope during tough times on Mind's online peer support community, Side by Side, or help Mind send out 250 information booklets so people who are struggling with their mental health can make sense of what they are going through and find ways to cope.
Pet Charity opens donation point to support owners during cost of living crisis. A pet charity is opening a new community food donation point to help support pets and owners as the cost of living continues to rise. Pets at Home's store in Bushy Road, New Malden, will trial community collection points for people who wish to donate pet food to pet owners in need. In partnership with the national pet charity Blue Cross, Pets at Home is seeking donations of dog, cat, puppy and kitten food, as well as food for small animals including rabbits, guinea pigs and hamsters. Donations will then be collected and distributed by Blue Cross to local food banks. Pets at Home plans to expand the donation service to more stores later this year. Bart Kemal, Pets at Home New Malden store manager, said, "We're excited to be one of the first stores in the UK to launch the customer donation points. I'm looking forward to raising awareness of the local causes we'll be supporting, and I know our customers will donate whatever they can."
And now, Nature Notes with Tony Drakeford. The bountiful oak. This autumn, there is a bumper crop of acorns, and walking under a mature oak, we find ourselves crunching underfoot dozens of the thousands of acorns littering the ground below. The oak is truly a most bountiful tree, an essential link in the ecosystem, directly or indirectly supporting a vast range of animals, birds, plants, fungi and lichens, all relying on the tree for food and shelter. Some of the most familiar birds of oak woods include all members of the tit family, woodpeckers, tawny owls, nuthatches, and tree creepers, many of which feed on acorns. The jay, another woodland bird, buries acorns, and whilst remembering where they have cached most of them, any forgotten may later grow into small oak woods. Deer and squirrels consume vast numbers of acorns too. More insects derive sustenance from the oak than any other tree species. Surprisingly, only one butterfly, namely the purple hairstreak, lays eggs on oak leaves, but many moths do so. If we stand under an oak in early spring on a windless day, we can hear what sounds like raindrops falling onto the leaf litter. But those raindrops are in fact the droppings of millions of tiny moth larvae feeding on the foliage. So vast is the number of caterpillars that blue tits time the hatching of their broods to coincide with the wealth of larvae available. The common or pedunculate oak arrived in Britain about 7,000 years ago and formed the wildwood that clothed our country in prehistoric times.
Artists and makers needed for new markets. Registrations are now open for artists and makers to take part in a series of local art markets in December. Wandsworth Council's art team is working with Citizens Art London to put on Wandsworth art markets and workshops over the weekend of December the 3rd and 4th. They will pop up in Tooting, Putney and Nine Elms, displaying the work and talents of artists from across the borough. There will also be a series of art trails, bringing artists and local businesses together. The events will enable local people to enjoy a weekend festival of arts and culture, and will give artists and makers an opportunity to show and sell their work and connect with fellow creatives. The project has grown out of the Council's commitment to champion Wandsworth's artists and safely showcase their work in the wake of COVID-19. Wandsworth Art was launched in 2020 to nurture and support artists and bolster creative networks, while throughout 21 and 22, Framed turns the borough's streets into vibrant outdoor art galleries, with works by local artists, selected from Wandsworth Art, displayed on lampposts, banners and in shop windows. Councillor Kemi Akinola, Wandsworth Council's deputy leader and cabinet member for the voluntary sector, business engagement and culture, said, "Wandsworth Council has worked to bring art to our screens, our high streets and, over the summer, the amazing Wandsworth Arts Fringe in a variety of places across the borough. We are committed to providing local artists with new accessible platforms to share their talents with their neighbours. I am delighted to be able to offer Wandsworth's artists this opportunity to showcase and sell their work as we invest in creative careers and in the future of our borough as a thriving cultural home for artists and residents."
And finally, sport, as AFC Wimbledon take no shortcuts in preparing for their FA Cup tie at Weymouth. Manager Johnny Jackson has confirmed he will be putting out a strong AFC Wimbledon side to take on Weymouth in Saturday's FA Cup first round tie. The Dons travel to the Bob Lucas Stadium on the back of a four-game unbeaten run, picking up 7 points from a possible 9 in League Two and finishing top of their EFL trophy group after a 1-1 draw with Portsmouth. Weymouth have won only one game in the National League South this season and are bottom of the table with 5 points. But Bobby Wilkinson's side had to beat Winchester City and Welling United to reach this stage of the FA Cup. The Dons were knocked out of the Cup at the third round stage last season under Mark Robinson, losing 2-0 to National League side Boreham Wood. "We will be approaching the game really seriously," Jackson said. "Any team I put out there, I would expect to win the game. We won't be taking Weymouth lightly. We will be putting out a strong squad and trying to get through to the next round. We'll be strong, that's for sure." Jackson named a side with an average age of 21.1 years old against Danny Cowley's Portsmouth on Tuesday evening, with youngsters Luke Jenkins, Kwaku Frimpong, Quayne Bartley, Alfie Bendel and Hussein Baila all starting. The Dons, who were already through, picked up the point they needed to top the group after an equaliser through Ayub Asal. "I was really proud," said Jackson. "It was a really young team against a really experienced Pompey team. When we saw their team sheet come through, we knew what a test it would be for our young boys. I'm really pleased with how they performed. We more than matched them, and in the second half, we looked like the side that could go on and win the game. The academy has done great work in recent years. They have produced a lot of players. It's really positive signs from what I saw against Portsmouth."
And that completes this week's edition of the Merton Talking News. Thank you to our readers, Helen, Claudio, Jenny and Ben, and to Matthew and Denny for their work on the controls. Please return your memory stick to the studio after you've listened to the magazine, which is presented this week by Denny.